Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hope everybody's doing well today. I want to welcome everybody to the Unimpressed Podcast. And today I have an old friend on the podcast, Brett D'Alessandro from Backpacks for Life. It's been about 7-8 years since we did some stuff with Brett. I think he was starting out with his nonprofit then, and I think he's moved the needle quite a bit. So welcome, Brett D'Alessandro, to the Unimpressed Podcast.
Thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate you having me. And literally, when we first started our nonprofit is when I talked to you. And now about 7 years, fast forward, we are talking again.
So you've had some success with this Backpacks for Life.
Boy, when we first met you, it was just a thought. It was just something that we wanted to continue to do to help out my brothers and sisters in the military. I was in the Marines for 6 years, and just a quick background, 6 years in the Marines. I was going to University of Rhode Island, and I got a call from my gunny. Hey, you want to deploy? Stop school. I got attached to CLB-6 down in Camp Lejeune. Deployed to Afghanistan. I was a machine gunner over there. Came back home and just really had a hard time integrating back. And so I saw that there was an abundance of resources. I thought in the beginning, there's really nothing out there, but really going through my own struggles and seeing what was out there. In fact, there's a ton of stuff out there. So why do we have high suicide rates in the veteran community and homelessness? It's really just because of the lack of communication with these resources and the veterans, and just there's a big gap between them. So Alexa and I wanted to hone in on and just continue to help our brothers and sisters. Cause I got back home and I was like, I deployed to help and serve others. So I wanted to just continue that. And we did. And we did like a little GoFundMe, and it was ordered some backpacks, which they're like an upgraded toilet paper, literally horrible backpacks. Mm-hmm. We literally give them out and they would just like explode. They were that bad.
You said you were in high school. Where were you at in school before you went full military? How old were you?
I was 18 when I joined. I went to boot camp in August. I was going to Verona High School.
Okay.
I actually was about to go play baseball, and my parents thought I was going to go play baseball, and they got a letter. I actually didn't tell them that I joined. They got a letter in the military. I'm in the mail, congratulating them that their son was going to be a Marine, and they're very confused about that.
So your parents thought you were going to play baseball in college or something, and you changed it up and went into the military.
Yes. That was an interesting conversation.
What made you make that switch at that time of your life where you wanted to decide to go to the military?
There was a couple different things. One, my grandfather served in the military, and he was just somebody I really looked up to. He was in the Marines for 20 something years, 2 Purple Hearts, World War II veteran, like just a very honorable person. I wanted to be like that. I also love to help others, and I wanted to try something new. I would definitely wanted to push myself and see how far I can go.
How much time after you got the letter did you go in?
That was towards the end of the school year, and then had the summer to enjoy myself and get myself prepared. August 16th is when I went to boot camp. I remember when I got there and got on those yellow footprints, and I was like, man, I should have listened to my parents.
I'm sure it was a little bit of a shock to the system, I would imagine.
I had a couple of friends like, oh, I was so pumped. I'm like, I call BS. When you get on those yellow footprints, everybody's like, man, I wish I didn't do this. There's no person in the right mind's like, oh, I'm excited for this. You get there and you're like, but no, after a while, you're like, no, you come to love it, but nobody in the beginning really want, they all kind of have second thoughts.
How much time was it before you were deployed after training?
So I did the reserve route. I went in, did basic and did my Marine combat training, did my military occupation station training and my MOS training. And then I went to school. I went to University of Rhode Island, and I was stationed up at a reserve unit in Newport, Rhode Island. And that's where I, sophomore year, so a little throwback right now. My sophomore year is when I stopped school to get attached to an active duty unit to deploy to Afghanistan.
And at that time, what conflict was going on in Afghanistan?
That was OEF, Operation Enduring Freedom. I was there in 2012. It was during the retrograde phase. So we were basically, we were at Camp Leatherneck, which is like a main base in the southwest Helmand province of Afghanistan. And so we went to a bunch, we would go out and it was a motor transportation unit. I was a gunner overseas. And we would go out to all these little bases called FOBs, forward operating bases. And we would either give them over to the Afghan army or we would take back all of the equipment and just basically destroy it afterwards.
And how long were you over there total time?
A little over 7 months.
7 months. So you're still 18, still 18, 19?
No. So yeah, I got in, I think I was just around 21 at the time. Yeah.
21.
Yeah. I had my 21st birthday at, in California at 29 pounds.
You developed these friendships when you joined the army and some things happened and kind of led to you where at now. I mean, do you feel like speaking about any of the circumstances that happened while you were there?
It was a rough deployment. I mean, we, like a magnet, we attract IEDs. You know, we're in big machines driving everywhere throughout the desert. So it's nature of the beast. We did have a couple Marines die overseas and came back home, continued to have that issue. Suicide, drugs and alcohol, AWOL. It really affected a lot of my brothers and sisters, and definitely affected me. It's high level situation. You don't really have time to react. And then when you come home is when you can actually get to you're kind of forced to deal with these issues that were really plaguing you over there. And it hit hard. And then especially, I mean, we just saw our brothers and sisters suicide, like I said, AWOL, they were dropping like flies. And I was definitely going through a lot of this anxiety and depression myself. I got lucky. I just really stumbled upon a couple of resources and people that helped me out. I wasn't really seeking help. I thought that if you were seeking help, you were just kind of a weak-minded Marine. I mean, we should be able to handle that ourselves. We shouldn't ask for help, which in fact was the total opposite of being, of just, I guess, being self-sufficient. You know, to ask for help is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. It's like, you know, going to somebody and they're like, oh, I'm going to college. And you're like, well, you're weak. Why do you have to go to college? Shouldn't you be smart already? It's like, no, you seek these resources to gain that experience, not only just to help yourself, you know, your mental self, but your physical self as well.
I talk about this stuff today is about technology and how you don't utilize your senses enough. And I know that you're a little older than, say, my daughter, but I think there's this age range of 15 to 25 and this technology era where people are making all these decisions on their technology, right? And there's not a lot of emotion there. So if you're a young adult and you go over and you're strapped into this type of situation, I would imagine that if you haven't experienced any emotions like that, and like I said, you're older, I couldn't imagine that age range doing that now, because I think if you don't utilize your senses properly, you know, it's almost like a shock to the system.
No, it's 100% correct. And that's the thing. Like, yes, you know, we went through a horrific experience or a couple of horrific experiences, but it definitely could have been worse. I've had a lot of buddies that deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, or just a combat zone and went through some serious stuff. You know, things are like, whoa, that's a lot more high caliber than I went through. But you're right. I was 21. These emotions were very foreign to me. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know how to handle them. They trained us to deploy to Afghanistan. They didn't train us to decompress and how do we get back to a normal living style. So that's what really hit me. That's what I was just really confused on. I was really trained to not seek help. And I really wish that they're like, hey, it's okay to go to therapy. You know, some people think like, oh, you go to therapy is when you have an issue. It's like, no, you should go to the vet center before you have an issue. It's preventative measures, because everybody's going to have an issue in their life. Everybody's going to go through something. And, you know, it'd be nice to maybe get trained beforehand, so when that happens, you're able to deal with it. You know, I've had people who are like, oh, I go to marriage counseling. Oh, and people, you know, instantly say something wrong. It's like, no, it's like we go there to prevent something wrong from happening.
You would think they would somewhat sometimes think ahead of the curve, give you some anticipation about what you're going to go through. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you handle it either way, but maybe anticipation helps a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, the motto of the Marines. We should really anticipate any kind of wrench that's thrown at us. And this is something where it's like, it's confusing. It's like, you know, we should be able to educate individuals and really focus on that mental performance in a Marine and make sure that they're able to combat any situation that comes to them, even if it's, you know, mental health issues. So it's something that we're definitely focused on within our nonprofit. We've definitely made some noise in that, you know, in that area of help, but yeah, we're still rolling along.
Even more background about Brett. I mean, I met Brett in New Jersey. We lived in North Caldwell, New Jersey, and he lives in Verona. You live in the town of Verona, or is it Cedar Grove? Where are you at? You're like, what town are you actually in?
So I born and raised in Verona. I'm actually over in Jersey City now.
Oh, okay. So now he's in Jersey City. Tell me a little bit about like this journey, you know, Jersey kid gets out, has some dealings, you know, in Afghanistan and didn't know how to deal with that. Because you jumped right into this nonprofit right when you got back, right?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely a little overlap. You know, I was still going through struggles and going through different mental health programs and veteran rehabilitation programs and just, you know, nonprofits in general, like, you know, going to mindfulness or meditation programs. So I was going through it, and I definitely had this idea of I wanted to continue to help out my brothers and sisters. I lived out of a backpack in Afghanistan for 7 months. It was like a mobile home for veterans who are homeless. So I came to this idea of putting supplies, toiletries, and resources in a backpack and giving them out. And you know, there's definitely overlap through my journey and also building this nonprofit, but it was like my holistic medication. It gave me my sense of purpose and my direction on what I wanted to do with my life. So from there, we just kind of really built upon it. You know, we had organization. That's how we first, you know, met with you, did that fantastic food kind of philanthropy give back series. Yeah. Was really cool. That was like the first kind of like, wow, we had like 100 or so backpacks donated to us. I think we're at like 11,000 backpacks given out. Wow. But yeah, that was like really the start. I mean,
here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You and all these amazing groups really helped us out. It's actually something I love. One of the big part of, you know, what, I mean, yes, I love helping people out, but the community in the nonprofit world is like nothing else.
When you started this thing, you were somewhat healing yourself as you're going through this process. And was there like a specific moment where you said, let's do this with you and Alex? And you know, what brought this to light completely? Like, what was the aha moment? Let's do this and then go.
So I wish I could say that I wanted to do it for myself, but just being honest, in the beginning, I hated seeing my family, Alexa, and all my friends suffer and just kind of hopeless because they didn't know what else to do. And I hated that these people were really just walking around in eggshells and just sad because of me. In the beginning, originally did it for others, and then come to find out that if I really wanted to heal myself and move on, I need to do it for myself.
What has developed, you know, with this nonprofit? Like, what is your functionality? I know you get into these things. It's like my business. Sometimes you try different things. Is there a full functionality and process you have yearly now?
Sounds like a smorgasbord of things, but it's really, we want to make sure our veterans have the proper programs, tools, and equipment to help themselves prosper. But we also, you know, because the veteran community is like 1% of the U.S. population, we want to make sure that if we're really going to help out the veteran community, we got to get outside that veteran bubble and let other people, you know, especially civilians, know what's happening in the veteran space. So it's very much educational, but it's really connecting. You know, again, we saw that there's a gap between veteran and resources. There's like literally 40,000 veteran service organizations. We have thousands of for-profit companies helping back and giving back to the veteran community. And there's actually a really good array of government programs. So we wanted to be the connector. But yeah, our first main pillar or approach is distribution of backpacks. And after giving out backpacks and working with thousands of homeless veterans throughout the country, we saw exactly what they needed in order to survive, but most importantly, get off the streets. So we developed we actually developed two backpacks. We finally got the patent for one of them, but it's a little ISO mat built in the backpack. They could pop out, lay on the ground to prevent hypothermia. That was a big issue on the streets. Another one was getting their stuff stolen. I mean, imagine if you came home and your house was just gone, you know, how long that would take to get everything back. So this backpack is their mobile home. It has all their records, military records, their social security cards, and that stuff takes a lot of energy and time to get. And so we actually had, it's like a sea bag style backpack, and then we wanted to take away the zipper because sometimes zippers bust and it becomes like inoperable. So it's a sea bag style. And then we actually had a drawstring that comes out, and it's an aircraft carrier cable. So you can't cut it, and they can lock that to their bedpost to prevent somebody from stealing the backpack. Reflective material built in the backpack. So many features, a little whistle clip by the sternum clip. So all these really cool features. And that's kind of the first approach, is giving these backpacks out. We've given out about 11,000 in 27 states. And so that's the first approach. The second approach is, if veterans need additional help, I'll literally sit down with them and coach them. Now, if they're outside the tri-state area, like I had a vet from Florida connect to us. The VA will down there will send vets up here to us. Well, you know, not physically, but tell them to give us a call. And if they're down there, I might not know exactly resources in their area, but I can let them know how to find these resources, some tools and tricks to get connected to groups, and then obviously let them know about national resources as well. But yeah, I'll literally, you know, if they're homeless, I'll drive over to them. Maybe it's a police officer or just an amazing individual will call us and let us know about a homeless person. I'll go out there, sit down with them. We'll go get some food and just hang out and talk. And I'll literally let them know what's out there. And then obviously give them a backpack. So that's our second program. And to really add on to that second program, we actually created a search platform called roger.vet. So roger.vet. And it's a search platform for the New Jersey veteran community. And we have hundreds of vetted resources on there. And again, going back to like, how do we get vets to connect the resources? And on there, vets can actually say what their income is, because some groups are their qualifying factors are income, demographics. Mm-hmm. What's your zip code? Are you an honorable, dishonorable discharge veteran? Are you looking for housing, homelessness, groups in the, you know, if something that's a factor to the LGBT community? So all these things are on Roger, and you can actually toggle in real time. They'll show you resources on Roger. So that was a really cool thing. It took us years and expertise from all different kinds of people to create this search platform. And there's like, we have like literally a chat bot on there, or literally type in there in real time. It'll text to me and a couple other veterans on there, so we can actually help that veteran in real time if they're looking for resources or just somebody to talk to. So it's a really comprehensive search platform that we created. So that's kind of the two main programs. And then our third program is this is where we just kind of coined it the, you know, whatever we can think of next, program. Yeah. It's our smorgasbord of things. And that's where, if vets need a car, we'll get them a car. If they need repairs to the roof, we'll get them that. So resumes, job placement, those are the things that we'll work on that third pillar.
Well, it's funny you talk about this stuff. I just launched a new comedy tour, Andrew Kahn, and this lady, her real name's Robin Johnson, but she goes by Robin Phoenix. And she's a 26-year vet, and she has something called Hilarious, where she goes into VAs and so forth and does comedy and has this comedy training. I definitely need to link you two up. I mean, she had 5 deployments, and she was special assistant to Dempsey for 18 months, worked at the Pentagon for several years. So I definitely need to link you two together, but she talks about the challenges in the, you know, the VA world. You know, she said there's a lot of challenges. So it looks like you have done a lot since we talked last. I mean, how much do one of those backpacks cost? They seem pretty high level stuff now compared to where you were.
Yeah, so going down to the Textile Expo in Atlanta, Georgia, traveling all around the U.S. and really learning what it takes to manufacture a product, because we manufacture these. We actually had a spot in Boone, North Carolina. It's around $40-something for us to manufacture, and we sell it online for just double the cost. And we sell it because we're giving out these backpacks, and people are like, oh, like, I love this backpack. And I thought the Lexan, this was around COVID, 2020, when, COVID started to become really relevant. And I was like, grants have kind of just disappeared. People weren't really giving or donating too much. So I was like, Alexa, like, we need to have this product and sell it to create a revenue stream for our nonprofit. Plus, it's like brand ambassadors wearing the backpack and promoting our message. So we started to, like, hey, let's sell these backpacks, use the funds to get a backpack to a veteran. So like a one-for-one model. So about $80-something, I think, on our website. So they're live, and we have the Bowery Pack, which is the bigger backpack. And then we have a smaller backpack for vets who are like transitioning or homeless, but need a backpack. So both of those are on our website.
They really don't want a place to live. They want to live on the street. I mean, have you experienced that?
I would say 7 out of 10 veterans that we work with are that veteran that you described. So my example through my life, it took me a couple of rehabs to, I went to, for alcohol, I went to a rehab. So some of these veterans, they've went through a really traumatic experience. And, you look at like almost like cognitive diffusion. They can't be in that house because of maybe something happened. They can't be in enclosed walls. They have to be outside. They have to be in a tent. And again, this is where people think like in order to be happy or to feel that self-worth, you need to fit the narratives of society. I feel like I just, these vets, sometimes they're not ready, or sometimes that's where they really feel comfortable and they're okay with living out there, and maybe they live at a campsite. But yes, it's not the life that I would choose, but we have to respect that. And I want to make sure these veterans know what's out there. And when they're ready, I'm here to make sure that they get the help they need and deserve. But you can't really force somebody. I mean, that's the beauty about America. We can all think and act how we want. So a lot of these vets, they're not ready, unfortunately. And I'm not going to say, if you're not going to work with me, then screw you, live on the streets. I say, hey, here's some resources. Here's some food and water. Call me if you want to just talk, but I'm here when you're ready. And sometimes they're not ready, or sometimes they actually want to live out there.
And there wasn't any type of program like this, because it's kind of a very niche thing. I mean, to have that mindset that, talking about this mentality and having that mindset to develop a program with backpacks, it really kind of plugs into what's needed. Was there anything else out there like this before you started?
So people always, always use a backpack as a carrier, but they're drawstring backpacks. They weren't really something. It was just, $5 and below backpack things that, I really wanted to give them equipment that's going to last. We had one of my buddies, he went to the Philippines and had a mudslide fall on the backpack, because I had him testing it out. Like, before we gave out these backpacks, I had a bunch of friends testing them out, and he had a mudslide fall on the backpack, and he had to dig it out. It took him like 20 minutes. And he washed it off, and it was still good to go. I wanted to get veterans that backpack, not something that's going to last like a month. I didn't want to get them a little soap bottle from a hotel. I wanted to get them equipment that is going to really help them and get them off the streets, but also potentially save their life, like the isomat that's built into the backpack.
Through this journey, what kind of people have you met, like on the business side?
The coolest of people. I mean, Damon John from Shark Tank, met him in Chicago. I went to, like, it was called Bunker Labs. It's a nonprofit for veteran entrepreneurs. It's a national group. And we went to this event in Chicago, and I just these two guys were talking. I ran up to this one guy and started pitching to him. And he was like, it was high up there. I'm butchering it, but it was like something like Secretary of State. And I was just like, hey, man, like talking to the backpack, totally cut them off. And it was just like pitching the backpack, no shame at all. But the coolest people that I have met are probably the homeless vets that I've worked with. I mean, their stories. This one guy, he had this little lighter, and we'd open up and he would light it and show the Twin Towers blowing up, and he stole it, not stole it, but he took it off of one of the, I don't know if he's Al-Qaeda or Taliban, but took it off of one of those guys I had in the jail. And he's like, I keep this to remind me of, you know, where I came from and my brothers and sisters that didn't make it back. So these stories that I've heard from the individuals that we work with on the streets are just, they're the ones who were writing the history books about. So yeah, they're just amazing stories and really motivate me to continue to do what I'm doing.
What's your goals, you and Alex's goals, the next couple years? What are you trying to achieve, and where are you trying to take your nonprofit?
So it's funny you asked that, because we've had a couple people ask that recently. I think after the past 7 years, we're kind of at where we want to be. I mean, we developed this backpack. That took years. Created this search platform. That took years. We actually, during COVID, we had a factory in Passaic, New Jersey. We started mass producing surgical masks and isolation gowns for all the veteran homes, because the veteran homes in New Jersey were getting obliterated. So we started to make hundreds of thousands of isolation gowns for all the nurses and doctors, surgical masks. We actually worked the FDA to get them approved, and we had them get tested out. So we were like mass producing all this stuff, and that took up a lot of time. We actually just recently purchased a van to help with logistics for our nonprofit. So I think really right now, we don't want to keep going too much farther. I think what we have now, we want to fine tune it,
build it out.
Yeah, just like me, fine tune everything and then grow after we get the dust settled. I think we've been running so fast right now that I just don't want to trip. I think we're in a very good spot. We actually recently partnered with the New Jersey Reentry Corporation, which is run by former Governor McGreevy. And with the Reentry Corporation, NJRC, and Backpacks for Life, we actually got state funding, they got state funding. We're helping them with it. We're on their veteran task force. But any veterans, and this is where I saw a big issue, and what we're working on is, okay, again, the lack of resources, but who are those veterans committing suicide? Well, there are veterans that are other than honorable. And these are vets that are like, they smoked weed when they got back from their fifth deployment to Afghanistan because they were so banged up. And, a lot of people in the military encourage drinking, but, they shun if somebody tries to maybe smoke something instead of going the pharmaceutical route and getting inundated with pharmaceutical medications that are horrible. So this vet smokes weed and he gets kicked out of the military. And okay, yes, you did something that you're not supposed to, but are we really going to exile them from mental health resources, the VA? It's like, maybe take away something, but don't just take away these services. And that's why most likely this vet smoked, is to have, relieve of anxiety. So what I'm getting at is, we actually, vets who are other than honorable or formerly incarcerated, these are the vets that are homeless and commit suicides. We actually are now, any vets that are in those categories, we can get them mental health services and we can get them to drug and alcohol rehab for free. So that was like a huge, the first time ever we're doing this in the state of New Jersey. So that's a really big endeavor. And that's kind of what I'm focusing on. But again, really, we want to make sure the dust settles. We had this amazing search platform, these amazing backpacks, and now this initiative. So we're really just going to hone in and make sure we can focus on these objectives right now before we go any further.
So if you smoke a little weed and you get caught in the military, the system works against them to some extent, I guess.
They will destroy you. And that's where it's like, I came home and I got addicted to alcohol, and I was addicted to some of these drugs that they gave me. I mean, I was 21. And I was like, oh, well, it's a doctor. Instead of saying, hey, why don't you go and do a recreational group or fly tying or mindfulness or some kind of meditation or something holistic. They're like, no, take all these medications. It was like, I don't know, right off the bat, like 4 or 6 medications they gave me when they could have just told me, something else to do. And those medications really heightened my anxiety and depression. And then, that with alcohol made it 10 times worse. But in the Marines, we promote drinking. We have all these people going this pharmaceutical route. And again, I'm not like knocking down the pharmaceutical industry. Some of these medications are sometimes needed. They should be short-term solutions, not long-term. And so we we say that's acceptable. But when a vet literally smoked the joint and did 4 deployments, got blown up multiple times, has severe back problems, and then you just kick him out, you did the crime, do the time. Yes, but we're going to literally dishonor him and take away everything. Like, at least like say, hey, let's get you to rehab and let's, you know, maybe help with mental health services. So that's kind of what we're really focused on. You know, I really think a holistic approach towards recovery is needed. I think that I know that we should literally tell vets in these facilities giving these veterans medication to stop, like try other routes first before you go the pharmaceutical route. Like try stuff. What's the harm of you know, getting somebody to go and do a recreational group with other like-minded veterans, or a retreat program for them and their family? It's just, you know, I keep honing in on the cannabis. I mean, I had a vet, maybe vet school prior to, what was it, 2011, don't ask someone to tell. Vets were getting kicked out for being gay. Vets were getting kicked out for being overweight. So, you know, I'm just using cannabis as an example. But like, you know, these things, I really don't think we should take away their medical benefits just because of the situation. Hero Grown is a CBD company. They give us free CBD products, and any vets who need CBD products, we can give them. I want to make sure vets who can't afford this medicine can have access to it. And again, I'm not pushing like, hey, everybody should smoke weed and this and that. I think it's extremely beneficial on the medical side. And that's where, you know, that's my stand. I think it's very beneficial for people who need it and shouldn't have to go to Xanax or opioids.
Not a lot of light is shined on those things that you see, you know, on a big level.
It's taboo. I mean, how many people go out there and go, hey, I have mental health issues. You know, it's like something where it's like, no, put it on the rug. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. But like, in fact, I seek people to work for us that went through struggles. When somebody comes to me like, hey, I'm, you know, 8 months sober, I'm like, I want you to work for me. Like, that's to go through that struggle is one of the hardest things ever. And to be able to get you have to do it for yourself, and to see these people that are able to go through that and see the light, you know, those are the people that are extremely talented. And, you know, and the people that are dealing with mental health issues are able to finally handle it with it's always there, but to be able to handle it in a natural and healthy way. Like, those are the people that are special. Those are the hard workers and the people that I seek to work with. So you shouldn't be ashamed with dealing with it. So many people deal with it. You know how many times I go to events and I'm like, I'm in recovery. And like, you know, out of the crowd of 50, like 10 people come up to me, like one guy, like, hey, I'm the CEO of this. And yeah, I'm, you know, recovery for 12 years. Like, you should see all these people. And, you know, I think we should be more vocal about it. And I know it's hard for me to say, because, you know, hey, sometimes it might affect their job or, you know, so there's reasons, and I totally get it. And I'm not saying everybody should just run out there and tell everybody their whole life history, but we need to stop making people feel ashamed of, you know, where they came from and the struggles that they're going through.
Well, I had a psychologist on the show, and she said that 20% of the population has mental illness that are able to function normally. I think the pandemic kind of shined a light on that 20%. Have you seen an uptick in cases, you know, after the pandemic?
I can't even wrap my head around the amount of suicides, people now using drugs and alcohol, people's kids that are extremely behind in school and learning in general. Their social skills are completely shot. Like, I can't even explain how insane it has been these past years of what it has done to people. Like, I thought it would take a little more time to have that impact on a person, but it was tough. I mean, I was in a lot of these nonprofits, they had to furlough a lot of their employees. We didn't have to use money for overhead. We really didn't have any overhead. You know, I'm speaking to you right now. This is our studio, our HQ, and, you know, our consulting area. You know, this is our second bedroom. So because of that, thankfully, we picked up a lot of the slack, and we're driving vets to appointments. I mean, groups are like, oh, we can't drive this vet to an appointment for housing. So I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Like, oh, we got to wait till the pandemic's over with. I'm like, like he's on the street. Like, I think we're looking at our financial audit raised $2.5 million. And I have a full-time job working in the docks. I haven't taken a penny from the nonprofit, and be able to raise that amount of money and help thousands of vets. I mean, I've had vets call me all the time. I had a person from the VA call me, hey, I'm sitting with this veteran right now. I need some help with him. And I'm able to really help these vets. I know the system inside and out now. I've literally memorized every single process in New Jersey. So I'm fortunate that I have the ability to be that shoulder for a veteran. It's the most powerful thing in the world to be able to be there for somebody that just has given up and give them the hope. It's really fucking cool.
What's your main website?
Backpacksforlife.org.
Backpacksforlife.org.
Yep.
So if you know anybody out there that relate or needs anything in this space and that me and Brett talked about today, check him out. Check out that website. Brett D. Alessandro from Backpacks for Life. My name's John Edmonds Cosma. I'm the CEO of Bang Productions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.